Proverbs chapter number 7. We're going to finish up this Bible study on appearance. Does it really matter? Appearance, does it really matter? So here we are, Proverbs chapter number 7. And I think we got a picture here all the way from the Philippines, if I remember correctly. Yep. Do you remember that guy? You remember him? And so a year ago, I was speaking in General Santos in the Philippines, and that fella came to the church service. His name is Galen. He's 7'2". He's one of the top 10 tallest Filipinos in the world. And so he really loves Brother Sisson. He got saved before I met him, and they were talking about me baptizing him. So I was saved by the skin of my teeth, and I got out of there. So anyway, he finally got baptized this past Sunday. They had 42 people baptized, and so there's Brother Sisson. Brother Sisson's about, 5'10", something like that. So Galen, 7'1", he's in that water, and so I thought that was real, real neat. And then next picture, I got to spend just a moment with Brother Shantigan there in Oakland. 19 years ago, our church helped start that church in Oakland. They've now repositioned themselves right through the Webster Tube, and they're in the city of Alameda, a lot safer. And so that is a building it looks like they're going to buy. I mean, they're renting it now, and then here's the inside here. It is just all first class. They have just figured it all out. And so he is so thrilled. They have redone things, painted things. They got this and that and pulpits and nursery. And I said, who meets in here? It was the kitchen. He said, that's where our teen group meets. I said, well, it figures probably all the guys right next to the refrigerator. I mean, man, they probably love this. And so they had it all. They had a portable baptistry outside where they put a heater in it and got swimming pool stairs. He said, we baptized 2 people last Sunday. And he is just all excited. And it looks like they're going to make an offer to buy that church. And so they're renting it now. And everyone that came by the sidewalk when we were outside talking, he knew them by name. Oh, that's one of our neighbors down here. Oh, that's a guy. This guy's from Yemen. He just knew everybody. And I'm just so excited. He worked a secular job 18 years just trying to make ends meet. He quit his job by faith. He's full-time now. And so he is just so excited. So if you think of Brother Shantigan and the Oakland Church, or you have an unsaved friend or relative that lives in that area, we can try to get them paired up to go. It'd be an exciting place. They had 16 ladies at Ladies Conference this year. 16 ladies that came to the conference. And so I'm just so proud of him. If you think of him, it wasn't a lot of people that wanted to move their little families to bullet-ridden Oakland. I remember showing him houses that he could move into with bullet holes all throughout the garage. I said, maybe not this street. And we flew 5 couples here. None of them wanted to move here. So I told him, I said, you saved my life. I said, I was in the hospital numerous times. I thought I was having heart attacks. I said, when you came, it saved me. And I appreciate him. So pray for him. Shoot him a text or something like that if you can. I appreciate that. So let's get our lights back on here. Here we are, Proverbs chapter 7. I think we're going to just really get going. I do have a bunch of pictures to show you as well. And so here we are. Proverbs chapter 7, just a review verse. We were talking about appearance. Does it really matter? Does it matter how a Christian dresses? Does it matter what a Christian looks like once we receive Christ as our Savior? Does any of that matter? What about our kids? How should we clothe them? What about styles? Should we just let them do what they want to? Proverbs 7, verse 10, and the Bible says, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. So here, Solomon, the wise teacher, the wise man, is teaching his son. He's saying, son, one day you're going to be going down the street and you're going to see a woman dressed a certain way. She's a harlot. And she'll take you down. She's a prostitute. She's going to take you down. Here's what she's going to dress like. So he is having some heart-to-heart talks with this young man that he's raising. So The wisest man in the world says you can tell what she is by how she dresses. That's what he's saying there. And I know we say, well, don't judge a book by its cover. And I understand that. But look at one other verse in 1 Thessalonians, if you will, in chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 5. And notice what we're told here in this great book of the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5. And God even goes a step further than this. We're not only to here it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Now he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. So not only are we to be away from evil, but we're not to even appear to be doing evil. And I think we've already prayed. So let's just, there's a couple pictures here, and then we'll talk about this thing of clothing for a moment, okay? What do we have here next, Paul? I don't even remember. Okay, so there it is. So sometimes our clothing may just be just kind of weird. And so you don't want to dress maybe like this all the time. Number next, okay, what do we have next? Now, someone says, well, is clothing a big thing? It's interesting. Several times in Jesus' life, clothing is mentioned. You remember, as a baby, he was what? What's the word? Starts with the letter C. Wrapped in swaddling, what's the next word? Clothes. And so here's a word associated with Jesus. Even as a baby, it mentions his clothes, his clothing. So he was clothed. And then we see a little bit further here. We see just some of the modern modern and ancient clothing in the Middle East. And so when we were in Israel, we did see some people dressed this way. And it was not Halloween. It was not it was because of the arid environment and the heat. Some shepherds would dress this way. So notice, some of them, if you look close enough, they have pants on all the way down to their ankles. And some have a shawl or maybe a robe on top of that. And so sometimes we think of people in the Bible days, they all wore dresses. No, they didn't. I can't see Brother Schulte wearing a dress in the Middle East. You know, there's Brother Schulte. That dress looks nice on you, Brother John. So if they had a robe, they had some clothes. The men especially had some clothes under it. They just did. Okay, number next, this next picture here. So we also see that when Jesus went to heaven, before he went to heaven, Moses and Elijah appeared on the mount, and it said, and his clothing glistened. It glistened like no fuller or no bleach could brighten them. Somehow, when he stood on the top of that mount, his clothes just lit up. And that's possibly how we're going to look when we go to heaven. Our clothing will just, I mean, it's going to pop. And we'll have a glow much like Moses did. Are you excited about this or no? Oh, okay. Well, I had a sunburn one time, Pastor, and someone said my face was glowing. No, your face was on fire, maybe. So Jesus in the manger, clothing. Jesus on the mount, clothing. Jesus crucified, you remember? They gambled over his robe. So several times his clothes are mentioned. And it's interesting this too. The Bible says that the moment you and I receive Jesus Christ, get the wording, we are clothed in righteousness. So our sins are covered. Righteousness means when God looks at us, he says, you're all right. He says, you're all righteous. Now, there's only one that was righteous. That was Jesus Christ. So the moment you and I get saved, his record comes on us. So God never sees sin. He never sees failure. He never sees drunkenness. He never sees a past. He never sees shame. He never sees brokenheartedness and the results of sin. He just sees, boy, looks just like Jesus. And the Bible says, and we'll be like him up in heaven. I don't think it means we'll look exactly like him, facially wise, but our record will be perfect, just like him. So the Bible says a lot about this. So is it important how a Christian dresses? Can you tell a book by its cover? I think we have a few more pictures here, quickly here. In the Old Testament, the priests were told that their clothing was for beauty and for glory. So here's this high priest, the one that would bring the blood once a year into the temple in the Holy of Holies, and that's how he dressed. Notice the brightness of the clothes. In fact, we've ordered a bunch of these outfits. We hope you men will buy some in the back on the way. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad I wasn't a preacher in these days. That's kind of a weird outfit, isn't it? So anyway, here it is. Next. So would anyone have a guess what that guy might do for a living? Okay, someone says, eat at Dunkin' Donuts. Is that what you said? Is that what? Velma. Brother Jeff's right back here. I can't believe you thought that. I didn't say you said it. I'm just saying you thought it. So here it is. Most people say, hey, it's a cop. So you're judging. No one says he's a cop. So what I'm saying is sometimes you see someone and it's just, hey, I bet he's a cop. Next, here's another one here. I bet he puts out fires. I mean, he's riding in a fire truck and he's got a helmet. I bet he's a fireman. You know, the world judges us. You know, I'm hoping that sometime in the next 6 months, somebody will just look at us out in public. Doesn't mean we have to have a tie on. Doesn't mean we have to have a Bible in our hand. But just look at the glow, hear the conversation, and say, hey, I bet y'all are Christians, aren't you? Maybe they see us praying at a restaurant, and they say, hey, I hadn't seen that in a while. I bet y'all are Christians, aren't you? Okay, here's a couple more pictures here, and then we'll get right here in the Bible. He's walking home from school. Let me see. Man, I don't know. Ballet? What do you think? Basketball player? You know, he's probably on a football team. Dresses like it, he's probably on that team. Now, do you see how we associate people? We do. We look at people. We see how they're dressed. It is important to God. Again, it does not mean someone has to go to a football game, they're in a three-piece suit, and they've got their 14-pound Bible. That's not what we're saying. But we do represent the Lord everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, we represent our Lord, and we ought to look the best. I tell people this, the best with what we have. You say, what's that mean? If you ain't very handsome, men, wear a hat, pull it down. Okay, next, I think we may have another picture. So let's look at this scripture just for a moment here, and we'll keep this up. Let's look down to 1 Corinthians just for a second. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's see what he says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, can I get some lights on here too? All right. Wow. Okay, here it is. All right. So notice right here he talks about hair. And so it's kind of strange. 1 Corinthians 11, much of the chapter is about hair. So appearance. Sometimes we talk about, look at their hair. So notice 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and he is talking to this church about being submissive to your leader. And so that's where he uses the word head, verse 3. But I would have you know, he says, that the head of every man is Christ, or the leader, and the head or the leader of the woman is the man. That's talking about in marriage. The head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying with his head covered dishonoreth his head. So he's saying if a man prays with his head covered, he's dishonoring his leader, which is the Lord. Now, he's not talking about hats here. So he's not talking about Amish wearing a hat or something. And notice where he keeps going. Verse 5, every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for even all as if she was shaven. So if she prays with her head uncovered, she's dishonoring her leader. And so then so what's this talking about? Hats, hair? What's it talking about? For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. If it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. So it's talking about hair. Shorn is talking about hair, cutting hair. Skip down to verse number Look down into verse 13. Judge in yourselves, is it comely for a woman to pray unto God uncovered? Doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. And so here, Paul is even talking about the appearance. Again, he is dealing with a church that has a lot of baggage, this church at Corinth. And so some of the women were now looking like men, much like in America today. We'd call that trans something. I can't figure it out. By the way, the word trans always means to cross. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our transgressions. When we cross a line that God has drawn, he's not for that. So when someone is created a certain gender and they cross or trans over the gender they were made, God's upset with that. And so this church, Paul was talking about the men looked like women and the women were starting to look more like men. So, you say, Pastor, what's it mean, head covered? If a man's head is shaved and then he lets it grow for 6 months and he doesn't cut it, what is the first thing that gets covered on the head? Ears. So here's a natural hairline that God puts on a man's head. And I believe that's why I've always kept my hair gray. Okay, so, but notice here the progression. Okay, so this would be short hair. No one says your head's got to be shaved as a man, but I'm just, wait. Okay, keep it here. So there's magazine cover, my favorite rock group in my whole life for many years. There they were right there, the Fab Four. Notice what they looked like when they first came to America. They look like West Coast Baptist College students. They've got suits on. They've got ties on. They've got hair that would pass hair code at any Bible college. Now, our nation fell in love with them, and then things started changing. You know, they were the sharp guys, and then the drugs, and then the women. And then a lot of other things took place. Okay, just a few other pictures here, and we'll look at more scriptures. Short hair or long hair? Is that short hair or is that long hair? It's long. It would be effeminate. That's a woman's hairstyle. Okay, see what's in the ear? Okay, now notice this picture here. Have you ever heard this? Well, Jesus had long hair, Pastor. We know that. Yep, that's an actual photograph that was taken on a cell phone on the seashore of Galilee when Jesus walked by. Folks, think a little bit. No one ever did a painting of Jesus. He never sat down and posed for a painting. No one ever took a snapshot. Many of these paintings, these famous paintings, where Jesus looks very effeminate. You don't look at that picture and say, man, I bet he's a carpenter. I bet he goes cage fighting. That guy's tough. No, that guy doesn't look tough. You check many of those artists who drew his picture, and they put these pictures in books. Many of those men were effeminate and had effeminate lifestyles. So just because a 13th century artist painted Jesus with long hair, let's not be simple-minded and just assume, well, the picture, what picture? And there's all sorts of pictures. I've seen pictures of aliens. So what's that mean? Jesus would never have broken scripture. He would not put, it's a shame for a man to have long hair, and then him break that scripture and wear it. In some of the old movies, you'll see, so, you know, they have the Romans in the movie, and then all of a sudden, this long-haired guy starts walking. It must be Jesus, because he's got long hair. It makes him God's son or something. It's the strangest thing. Most people in Jesus' day wore the same hairstyle that the emperor wore. And if you look at Nero and Augustus Caesar, they had hairstyles just about like mine. And so it'd have been very strange for him to be the only one. Now, in Scripture, Samson and Samuel took a vow, a Nazarite vow, where for a season their hair would grow. At the end of the vow, they would shave their head. It was a vow to God. It was for the Nazarites. And usually their hair would be in 7 ponytails. So most of us have never taken a Nazarite vow. And so that's where that comes in. Just giving you some things to think about. It does matter, even our appearance. Okay, next, here we go. So in Scripture, and we'll look at this in just a moment. So it's not just enough to have hair off the ears or not long hair. For a Christian, it ought not be worldly hair. What does the world look like? What does the world do? And the world does a lot of things. They're not our standard for our appearance. Here's next. Okay. Then we talked about last week how that, in fact, that's one of our Sunday school teachers right there. But we talked about last week how in the Bible days, when they took their outer garments off, they were called naked. Okay? So the guys with the robes would have, and we'll get on it in just a minute, but they would have breeches, or they'd have shorts to their knees, and then their robe on top. So when they took the robe off, God said, they're naked. And so that's why when Simon Peter was fishing, it said he was naked on the boat. He had simply taken his outer garment off. He was in his shorts. That's what he was in. And so what's happened to our nation is, for the most part, our nation has taken the outward garment off, and we're just wearing the underwear in public. Anybody in the last 6 months seen a man's underwear? I have, not on purpose. You just go into a store and they've got their pants pulled down. If Jesus tarries in 200 years, evolution is going to have men, instead of walking upright, they'll be half down like this, hanging on to their pants. No wonder they're having so many orthopedic surgeons and spine surgeries, because people are injuring themselves having to walk like that. And so that's our nation, though. People are going places in their pajamas. Summertime comes, and it looks like people just have their underwear on. They don't have a lot of clothes. They're not real modest. It's like they're going places in their underwear. So here we go. Here's another one, and then we'll see if we're going to. Okay, let's just back up and then just turn it off for a minute. And let's finish up these scriptures. Let's look at several things here quickly and just a little bit of review. What you wear, is it important? And again, if you're a new Christian, you don't have to swallow this. This is meat. This is deep. But here we are. What was clothing given to us for? One, protection. Number two, modesty. That's the blank on your little answer sheet there. Third, to glorify God. If you eat, drink, whatever you do, glorify God. Next, glory and beauty. When you do buy clothes, hey, does this look sharper or not? Someone sent me a picture of three, I don't know if it's teenage girls or college girls, and they were in those new jeans that are all tore up. You know what I'm talking about? You know, the kind that we adults threw away when we were kids because we were so embarrassed to wear them, and now you're going to buy them for $200. I saw one pair of jeans, I think it was $200. It was shot full of machine gun bullets. $200. Man, I ought to just buy good blue jeans, shoot them full of holes, and sell them on eBay. Man, I can make a ton. But it had these three teenagers, and their pants are all tore up in pieces. They're all eating the ice cream, and the caption said, three teenage girls celebrating. They escaped from a bear. Anyway, I thought it was kind of funny. So, glory, beauty. Next, distinction. Men's clothing, women's clothing. Men ought to get as far away from any clothing or any accessories, anything that's identified with a woman. Women ought to get as far away from anything. Bring the little girl home in silky clothes from the hospital. Put some rough, ragged blue jeans on that boy. As soon as he's born, bring him home. Let it scratch him real good. Let me just give you this. This was a survey. We talked about modesty. We talked about last week a little bit of what... Oh, well, let's just... We talked about modesty. What is modest? And we'll look at this other verse in just a second. I see it here now. Yeah, Exodus chapter 28. Let's look at this, if you would. Exodus chapter 28 and verse number 40. So we see these priests are the guys that are putting the animals on the offering. Exodus 28 and looking down in verse number 40. So someone says, Pastor, so how do you know what God calls modest? What is nakedness? Some people can lust after someone in a potato sack, but where do you draw the line? How can a lady know she's being modest according to Scripture? Look at this. In Exodus 28 and verse number 40. And it says, and for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them, I can't read it, girdles. I know what it says. A girdle in the Old Testament was simply a belt. So if you've ever had a house coat and it had a belt that you tie it, that was called a girdle. It was not something to make you look like you lost weight, okay? So Aaron's, these priests had these coats, and they had these belts, and look at this, bonnets. I'm sure Aaron liked that. Aaron, you got your Easter bonnet. No, it's my everyday bonnet. Shalt thou make for them for glory and beauty, and thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, shalt anoint him and consecrate him and sanctify him, that they minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen. Look at the words, Old Testament, breeches. We would kind of slang it and call it today breeches. Okay, breeches. Make them linen breeches. Now, what were these breeches to do? To cover their nakedness. Okay, so what was considered their nakedness? Now, he says, from the loins, or you'd say the waist, even unto the thighs shall they reach. So they had these robes, but they went up these tall stairs to offer the offerings. So underneath they had these breeches, or you could say breeches, from the waist that went down all the way down the thigh. So the only thing you could see was the calf. He said, I want that covered. So that's what God said. So for the woman, he says, cover from your waist down to your knee. Have it covered. And he said that to the guys, too. I'm just telling you. I don't have problems if a guy has short shorts on. Doesn't mess with me, but I'm just reading you what God said. He said, if you're going to be the priest, cover your nakedness, waist, down to the knee. Thigh is not to be seen. That's what God says. Interesting, huh? It put a lot of clothing business out, wouldn't it? So let me give you this quickly. This was a survey given, and every woman ought to want to dress, if she's married, to please her husband, and every Christian, man or woman, ought to want to dress to please their God. And so here's what a survey said. Men were asked this question. Men were asked this question. When you see a woman, what would cause you to lust and think dirty thoughts about her? How would she have to dress to get you to lust? Here's what they said. When she shows her thighs, when she has a low neckline, when she has a slit in the dress or skirt above the knee, when she's wearing a bathing suit, when her clothing is tight or clingy, when a woman is not wearing underclothing, when her midriff is revealed, when her clothing is see-through, when she has buttons on her blouse unbuttoned, when cleavage on the chest is revealed, standing or bending over. It's just what guys said. Just thought y'all'd like to know. I didn't say that. It's what guys said when they were surveyed. Just thought you'd like to know. Okay, let's look over here in Deuteronomy just for a moment. Chapter 22, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 22. And we'll get some more pictures up here, okay? Deuteronomy 22. And we're just looking. A mature Christian says, Lord, what pleases you? Whatever pleases you, that's how I'm dressing. A parent says, Lord, my kids don't have any sense. I need to guide them on how they ought to dress. If you're a parent, I guarantee you, raising your little ones, you had at least one get out of the bathtub and run down the hall naked. It's just a requirement of being a kid. Kids are not always getting out of the bathtub saying, what is modest? How would my creator want me to be clothed when I run down the hall? So we see here in Deuteronomy, look at this, 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. So that means whatever the man wears, the woman's not supposed to go that direction. And the word pertain means take a step toward. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, not for a reading class to five-year-olds, not at a Mardi Gras parade at all. For all that do so, this is God speaking, are abomination unto the Lord thy God. So that's the transgender movement. Here's the bathrooms now. We've erased the line. There's no difference in the genders. Let's just kind of erase that. Anybody can go in this bathroom. Anybody can go in this locker room. And now if you identify as this, now you can beat all the girls on the sports team. Now, there's just no end to this nonsense. No end at all. Poor girls have trained their whole life in sports, and then a guy steps in and whips them all, and we can't do one thing about it. God says, it's an abomination. Abomination. So you can't say that in church. No, I didn't. I just said abomination. That's all I said. It was Cher of Sonny and Cher. She had a daughter. And her daughter turned out to change genders or be attracted to the same gender. And her mother looked at her and said, you know, I was real disappointed how you turned out. That's what her mother said. She said to her mother, you always dress me like a boy. That's what she said. I'm just quoting her. So excuses, just real quick here. Sometimes people will say, but that's not what everyone else wears. Here's another one. But I'm more comfortable wearing something else. Hey, ask Jeff Hansen sometime, are you comfortable wearing a bulletproof vest? Are you comfortable wearing a gun and this and a phone and about, what, 30 pounds of stuff you're having to wear? 30 pounds of junk before he even gets in his car. Are you comfortable? It's part of the job. It's part of the job. Here's this one. It's not a big deal to me. And then I hear this one sometimes. I only dress this way in private. You know, years ago in our family, we decided for our kids, our boys would always dress like a boy. In private, in public, at camp, at church. That's how they would always dress. And our girls would always dress like a girl. In private, on vacation, at home, wherever we went. And they've always done that. So, let's shift gears just for a moment. The last verse, Roman numeral 2 is where you go. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. So not only is God interested in what we wear, but he's also interested in where we go. Okay, let's look at this just for a moment, okay? Here's a picture. Let's look at this. Okay, you help me. Okay, let me see. They're serving liquor. let me see, probably a sports bar or something like that, but a lot of liquor going on. Now, would it be a sin to drink a mug of milk? Is it a sin to drink milk in a mug? No. Do you think if you sat down and ordered a mug of milk and you stayed here an hour, most unsaved people are going to say, oh, they just drink milk there. I'm sure they just drink milk. I know it's a club and it's a bar, but I bet they just drink milk there. Most people are going to say, so I wonder what you're drinking, right? So it matters what people think. It matters the appearance. If you're not a drinker, probably don't want to go to a nightclub or a bar. It matters. It just matters. Okay, how about this one here? Let's see here. Okay, this is Riverview. I don't know where this is. Okay, it looks like it's a theater. Okay, so I don't know. Let me see what happens in Vegas, PG-13, Horton Hems Island. I don't know what that, Marnia. I don't know what that, PG, Bruges. Not sure what that is, R. So here they are. They've got all these ratings of these movies. And I think probably movie theaters are probably heading down the tube because so much stuff online. But I'm just saying, you park in the parking lot and walk in to this establishment. Does everyone know you're going to see the G movie? I mean, there's a R. It's PG-13, and I don't know the other ones. People will probably just say, you go to movies. Now you're just kind of lumped in. Your car's out there, you go to movies. Just a thought, appearance. Does it matter how things appear? Here's another one, just here, just giving you some things to think about. Hey, now that's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about. That's the Lord's will right there. Seafood. But look at the next picture. It's a casino. It's a casino. Seafood buffet. I remember I was speaking in Reno, Nevada years ago, Sparks, Nevada. Never even thought about it. The pastor said, you like seafood? I said, I love seafood. He said, you have a problem eating at a seafood restaurant, buffet, all you can eat if it's attached to a casino? I said, I don't have any problems with a casino. I don't gamble, no temptation. But we had to walk through the casino. Ding, 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 ding. The little girls and the dresses with all the drinks. Ding, 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 ding. And it was ding, 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 ding. And as I was walking through, the Holy Spirit said, you better eat up. It's probably the last time you're going to be in here. I said, you're right. And I was wondering, does anyone see my car? Because I don't gamble. Sometimes it's going to be inconvenient to abstain from all appearances of evil. I decided years ago, someone's broken down on the side of the road. If it's just a lady, I can't give her a ride anywhere. Billy Graham never wanted to be accused by anybody. If he was at a motel and a lady was in the elevator, he'd just back up and say, go ahead, ma'am. I'll wait for the next one. He never wanted to be accused. Appearance of evil is important. Where you go, what you say, because it takes years to get yourself a good testimony where people believe you're a good Christian. You can just lose it just like that. So important. So God here, and again, clothes don't make someone a good Christian. But we ought to at least be interested. What are you interested in? What do you want me to put on this body that you bought? And then appearance of evil. I'll close with this. We were at, we can have the lights now, thank you. We were at a truck stop. The worst memories I have were being a teenager going to camp. And we went 13 hours to camp. 13 hours on a church bus. Always broke down. I still remember our, I think it was, Brother Steve, I think it was our alternator fell off. And we didn't have anything to strap it on. Brother Smith took wire cutters, cut someone's barbed wire fence, and wrapped it on the bus. Well, we pulled over to a rest stop, and we were hot. We were getting a soda. And I still remember my friend Don. He's coming here in about a month or two. And he found a beer bottle that someone was finished with. And he was probably 14. Well, he washed that beer bottle out and took his soda and poured it in there. That's how we teenagers think, you know. And he walked up to our pastor, Brother Smith. Look at this, Brother Smith. Ooh, this is so good. That was the first murder I'd ever seen in my life. Brother Smith didn't think that was funny at all. I thought it was real funny. Until Brother Smith didn't, I said, I told him not to do it, Brother Smith. I told him not. So what was that? It wasn't a sin he was drinking soda. It appeared to others he's drinking beer. It really does make a difference. And the older you get and the closer you get to finishing your race, you're not going to be, is it psychotic or schizophrenic? You're not going to be paranoid, but you're going to say, how's this look? What's this look like? It's important. If it helps get someone saved and up in heaven one day, it's worth being a few steps away from the appearance of evil. And you'll be glad. You'll be glad. A little bit of heavy stuff. We're done with this subject. And this week, if you have any questions, like, Pastor, what about this? I don't get this. I got a booklet I'll loan you and this and that. But it was right here in the book of Proverbs. This is what we need. So important. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this time tonight. Thank you that one day we don't have to worry about clothes. We'll change one time into a robe of white, and we'll be in heaven for all eternity.